A judge in Lebanon has refused to release a gunman who held up to 10 hostages at a Beirut bank last week to try to get access to his own savings. The man had threatened to set himself on fire if he couldn't get the bank to release his money, which he said he needed for medical care for his father. The 7-hour ordeal ended with the gunman's surrender, but not before the bank handed over some of the over $200,000 from the gunman's account. The standoff drew a crowd of protesters outside a sit-in in support of the hostage taker. It also highlighted an economic collapse that has seen savings and pensions disappear because banks won't release the cash. Rami Rajah was in that crowd outside the bank.
I want to start with what happened last week. I mean, it seemed like such a symbolic moment. Can you tell me why you were there and what you were thinking about what was going on inside that bank?
I think symbolism is just the word for what happened last week. I went down there just to show support and to be able to shed light on a chronic crisis that's, you know, been going on for at least 3.5 years now. This person symbolizes, you know, a segment of the population that has had their money locked in the bank. And like some news outlets labeled him as insane. On the other hand, most of the people who are part of the sit-in felt that his reaction was normal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it isn't normal, Rami.
Right. It's an incident that sheds light on a crisis that has dragged, where the ruling elite have shoved aside, you know, one proposal for a solution after the other. There have been 4 proposals that they have just put to death. And this is creating a lot of frustration. And one way that it manifests itself is in people taking matters into their own hands. This kind of atmosphere that we're living in, where jobs are scarce, so people are leaving. The people who leave are sending money back. And this money back is predominantly being used to pay for basic services. What he did was a symptom. I don't feel it was an out-of-context crime.
It was a symptom of the crisis.
Yes.
But can you talk about the reason he's being hailed as a hero and who people blame for the situation so many Lebanese find themselves in now?
I don't know. Hero is, it's kind of a big title and word for this man to carry on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because the next day, if you're a depositor that had money in hard currency, nothing changed for you.
Mm-hmm. How is day-to-day life for you, for your friends, for your family?
On a personal level, I think our income has diminished, in not in nominal terms, but the purchasing power has diminished. Mm-hmm. And even if you're able to offset the inflation, there's a big part of your income that's now going towards things that, you know, you didn't usually have to spend so much money on. Running water, electricity, medical insurance, all of these bills have increased in 2 ways. Like, they're more expensive and you're actually paying for less.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to find things that you need for your daily life? Medicine, food, you know, all the things that you need to function.
I cannot claim that food has been an issue. I mean, the prices have changed. If you want to, like, convert them into dollars, they haven't changed that much. But if you factor in people's incomes,
who make money in Lebanese lira.
Exactly. So we haven't had any shortage when it comes to basic foods, such as pulses and rice and etc. There is an issue with medicine. It's common to hear patients, relatives, or siblings looking for a medication because nobody can find it, even if they have the money to pay for it.
If you could just describe the day-to-day life and the way it's changed in Beirut, what's different about the city than 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
It's dark. It's not as clean. It's a city that has a lot of commercial places on the street level. Roughly speaking, you can see that half of those are empty. I feel you can sense the air of, I don't want to say despair, but there's a lot of anger and there's a depression because it's lasted so long. There doesn't seem to be an end in sight. Even if this end in sight is a painful path, it's not even there. There's a safety issue. You have to convince yourself that it's okay to walk from point A to point B at night because the streets are all so dark.
Now, you have two kids.
Yes.
Can you talk about why you stay and what that means for your kids' life and for raising a family?
It's a grounding experience, and it could serve as a good experience for the kids to realize that they can't take everything for granted, and not everything they want they can have, and it's okay for them to find, you know, to realize that this city needs a lot of work, and they naturally compare cities now if they're ever abroad. Mm-hmm. With home. For us, we don't really feel this is a bad thing. We're struggling, but we're not desolate. We're able to make ends meet. And so long as we feel today that we're not compromising their safety and their education, we're okay with staying.
Rami Rajah, speaking to us from Beirut. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Layla.